Today on Real Radio.
The presence of evil should alert us as Christians to impending disaster. And no one's exempt from temptation. Temptation itself is not a sin. Yielding to it is the sin.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues in his topical series on the Ten Commandments. In fact, we're in a mini-series of sorts that takes a look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 14. You see, marriage was ordained by God, yet it's under attack today in so many different ways. And these attacks and perversions predate the same-sex marriage issue, as we'll see while we take a look at commandment number 7, you shall not commit adultery. Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Listen, if you really want to love your husband, or if you really want to love your wife, love God more. Oh, honey, I can't live without you. Well, you better learn how. Because you better be in love with God more than you are with me. Listen, this church, you guys be smart, okay? You be tough. And when somebody lays that stuff on you, how many are single? Raise your hands. You're single. Don't give me this half-raised hand up. Okay. If somebody tells you, I just can't live without you, I'm going to die if you're not. That's not the person for you. Okay? You want the person following Jesus and totally in love with God, and that's the person you can trust. Okay? Be devoted to God. And that shouldn't end, by the way, when you say I do. And now pronounce your husband and wife. Whew, man, I can, all right, that's it. But I'm married now. And you gain 50 pounds, you stop praying. You know, you got hair hanging out of your nose and... No, don't do that. Be devoted to God. Your ministry begins the day that you get married in a brand new way. Be devoted to God. 2 Samuel 11, verse 1. In fact, listen to this. In 2 Samuel 11 is the most famous, adulterous relationship? I almost called it adulterous affair. I hate that combo. Affair. What are you having? An adulterous affair. Like it's some kind of cool thing. Affair is that's a kind of a nice word. It should be used in a good sentence. It was, we went bowling with friends. It was a wonderful affair. That's how it should be used. But you can't have an adulterous affair. One should be fantastic and the other one should be murderous, horrible. The most famous adulterous event in history is found with King David. 2 Samuel 11, listen to steps that you and I can be wise about avoiding adultery. Verse 1, 2 Samuel 11, 1. It happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, that is with Joab, his servants, not David, and all Israel. So you got all the troops, you got all the lieutenants and commanders, and you got your general Joab. David says, yeah, you guys, it's springtime, man. Go to war. And they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem. He stayed home. Now, in the springtime in the Middle East, that's when kings go to war. But David, man, that guy's, he's ruling that region of the world, all is well. He's totally a very wealthy man, very successful. After all, he'd written a bunch of chapters of the Bible, man. And an interesting guy, an amazing man, certainly had his human side. He had his anointed side. He was an incredible warrior. He could kill somebody like that. He was really gifted at war. He had asked God, Lord, give my hand skill at war. David was a tremendous man to battle with the sword, with the slingshot, obviously. And then he would, get done having a huge battle, his blood and guts all over the place. And he'd sit down and write a beautiful song, Lord, you are precious, and I, like the dew of the morning, Father, you are. He's an amazing guy. And he takes it easy. He settles back. In our culture today, it would be like, I kind of arrived. The business is running. Things are good. Money's coming in. And gosh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do today? Maybe I'll, and you fill in the blank. You say, well, there's nothing wrong with that. I've earned it. I understand that. But mismanagement of it could cost you your life. Listen, time on your hands is a scary thing. It better be devoted to God. A lot of unemployed people right now in America. What are they doing with their time? I wish I had a bullhorn to actually shout across the nation. If you're unemployed, get on your knees and seek God. Turn off the TV. Get off of welfare so the rest of us don't have to work so hard. Pray and ask God to give you a job. I believe God will answer that. The Bible says if a man doesn't work, he's not going to eat. God wants you to work. He doesn't want you to be leisure. David was leisure. Be careful of your time. Number two, avoiding adultery. Number two, make sure you guard your eyes the most. Guard your eyes. You know your peepers? Watch it. These things are sneaky. Verse 2. Chapter 11, verse 2. Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful to behold. If the Bible says a woman was very beautiful to behold, she must have been very beautiful to behold. What's David doing? You go, oh man. Number one, everybody, first look, unavoidable. You have eyes. That's normal. When I say normal, you'd be looking around and you turn around and whoop. This happens. This is real. It will, first look is, whoa. The moment you feel that, when you look and it's, as soon as there's a, you can, the tracker beam lock, that's when you look away. You can be just going down, just walking, it's like, and whoa, not gonna look again. Not gonna do that. Not, I'm gonna look over there. Not gonna do that. Not good over there. Gonna look over there. You know what I'm talking about? We have to practice this. Now listen, guys are visually stimulated, period. Guys are visually captivated. Men, get control of your eyes. Just determine it now. You got to do it. Are you a Christian? Yes. Then get control of your eyes. Most basic thing. Not good to look at, look away. You got to do that. Did David do that? No. He should have went, wow, beautiful woman, hello, looking away, going back in the house. No. Watch what happens. He didn't have security of his eyes. He let them go. It says that she was beautiful to behold, listen, he studied her. He looked, he stared. Men, women, you ever see a man or a woman staring at you, or in California, any gender looking at you? Get out of there. It's doubly hard to be on guard in California. Number three, exercise your God-given authority over your mind and body. God-given authority over your mind and over your body. Look at verse 3. So David sent and inquired about the woman. Not a good thing to do. What is he doing? Well, he's got too much time on his hands. He's not controlling his eyes. He's lost the fear of God. And now he's making inquiry of the woman. He's not exercising the authority that the Spirit of God gives you over your mind and your body. So now he's saying, hey, you know what? What's the deal here? Let's find out about her. And someone said to him, listen to this. Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Isn't that a huge warning from God? Hey, isn't that some guy's wife? But David is not yielding his body and his mind to God. David is in control, listen, of his mind and of his body. And that's what you don't want to be in this world. You don't want to be in control of your mind and of your body. You want the Holy Spirit to be in charge and rule over your mind and your body. Number four, avoiding adultery, never abuse what the Lord has entrusted to you to do in life. David was the king. And verse 4 says, then David sent messengers and took her. And she came to him, and he lay with her, for she was cleansed from her impurity, and she returned to her house. And you know the story, right? Yep. It's found out, hey, David, that was a great night, but I'm pregnant. And his desires, his biological desires, his physical desires, what is it? He's a man of absolute success, and he does this thing. Why? Why do we see men of great power? Men of great power. A lot of them, you know, you see them on the news. The politicians, men of great power, they fall right in the prime of their, what is this? And people analyze this stuff until the cows come home and go out again. It's ridiculous. Well, it's because of this. And I heard somebody say it's an ancient primal, listen to this. They said it's an ancient primal response to preserving the race. I'm not kidding you. What is? You say, what is an ancient primal response to preserving the race? There, every man, this was a woman saying this, she was a psychologist. She said, every man has an overdeveloped drive to grow the herd, to grow the pack, to the tribe must become bigger in his evolutionary process. That's why he does what he does. Oh. How would you, can you imagine? Hey, honey, you know what? I had a big day today at work. Just enlarging the tribe. It's my primal instinct, sorry, but you know, blame it on the primordial mud hole that we all climbed out of. Down inside, every human knows that that is a lie. Some men are going, man, wish it was true though. Nope, it's not true. Can't get away with that one. The presence of evil should alert us as Christians to impending disaster. And no one's exempt from temptation. Temptation itself is not a sin. Yielding to it is the sin. Now listen to this carefully. Don't misread this. In Matthew 5:27, Jesus says, you have heard that it has been said of those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. That makes it spiritual. God sees it first. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than your whole body be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you than one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. First of all, Jesus is not saying, think of this, Jesus is not saying for you to literally cut your hand off or pluck your eye out. He's talking about the absolute necessity of avoiding sin. It should be so important, this much important. He's drawing a point. He's making an exclamation point on the dangers of sin. You say, well, I don't know, man. You know what? I think we should pluck our eye out. Do you realize that there'd be nobody with eyesight in the world? And none of us would have hands. Because if it happens in your heart, Jesus says, nope, that he's telling us it's so dangerous of a sin. It can destroy your ability to see life, to perceive life, to discern life, and it is so dangerous that it will take away your ability, as we read earlier, for you to even sustain your life. How many men and women have gotten into this world of adultery and their life comes to ruin, just as the Proverbs speak about? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. 2 Timothy 2, 22 says, flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. The word flee here means to escape from, become a runaway. Become a runaway from youthful lust. 1 Thessalonians 5, 22, abstain from every form or appearance of evil. Stay away, avoid appearances of evil. The word abstain means to hold yourself back from, stay away from that, even an appearance of evil. Be careful that your culture, church, that our culture doesn't overrule our theology with our God. I'm going to wrap this up. Listen, make sure, be careful that you're, listen, I'm going to give you a test in a moment, and you're going to feel it, I promise you. As we begin to wrap this up, I want you to think about this for a second. How much of your culture has affected your theology regarding sin, regarding our relationship with God? You would say tonight, not much, or not at all. Listen to this. The presence of evil should alert us, the Christian, to impending disaster. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. This is the Bible. Before I read it, God loves you. You may be here tonight. You may be a prostitute and you're here tonight. You may be here tonight, a very promiscuous man. You might be a Christian here tonight and you are backslidden far from God and you're in an adulterous relationship. You may be somebody here tonight, you think yourself religious, and you think sex is just, doesn't matter what the context is, it's like eating. It's just what you do. Just know this, no matter who you are tonight, God wants you to come to him and to be cleansed, because the Bible says it is sin. And he tells us this because he loves us. And only a spoiled little person would throw their toys down on the ground and say, you're being mean to me, God. I want to do what I want to do. My friend, that's how messed up your life has become. That's how tough you've made things on yourself. So listen. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't answer me. I'm just going to ask you, what do you think that means? Do not be deceived. How come? Because we are deceived. Neither fornicators. I want to ask you this question. Don't answer me. Just answer inside your heart. Fornicators, he says, are not going to into the kingdom of God. So I'm going to ask you, is this a choice that a person makes to fornicate? Do you choose to fornicate? Nor idolaters, people who worship things more than God. Do people choose to worship things more than God? Adulterers, he says, will not go into the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. I want to ask you, is committing adultery a choice you make? Is a person responsible for the choices they make? Nor homosexuals. Is homosexuality a choice? Interesting today, people are being lied to and said that it's not a choice, that they were born that way, and yet President Clinton commissioned the U.S. Army Laboratory to find evidence that people were born that way, and after a 14-month study, the U.S. Army Lab concluded that no one's born that way. It's a choice. It's a choice that you make. Interestingly, listen, sodomites. To commit sodomy, is that a choice a person makes? Or thieves. The Bible says thieves won't enter the kingdom of heaven. Is that a choice someone makes to be a thief? No, I'm not responsible. It's in my DNA to steal. Hey, to be a covetous person. You just covet stuff all the time. Is that a choice? To be a drunk. Is that a choice a person makes? Or to be a reviler, a person that is volatile, angry, a brawler. Is it a choice that a person makes? An extortionist, one who commits extortion. Is that a choice someone makes? The Bible says they will not inherit the kingdom of God. We are going to be held responsible for the grand and glorious gift God has given us of choosing. We choose what we will and will not do. The Bible says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. If tonight the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart, that's the ministry of reconciliation. He wants you right with him. And God is not impressed with Madison Avenue. God is blessed to see you happy and healthy. And he wants your life to be incredibly, incredibly fulfilling. And you and I, let's face it, we don't make good choices when we're left alone on our own.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio. In a lesson that takes a look at the seventh of the Ten Commandments, you shall not commit adultery. Now, as you can see, this message really is quite timely for us today, especially since marriage, as laid out in Scripture, is being attacked these days from all imaginable angles. This series within a series is part of Pastor Jack's bigger collection of studies on the Ten Commandments, as found in Exodus chapter 20. So please be sure to join us again as we continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, if you listen to Real Radio on a daily basis, which I hope you do, you may have heard our recent special edition on SB 48 and the homosexual agenda in our public schools and history textbooks. You know what, folks? It's time to get involved. First, learn more about SB 48 at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And then click on the button that says Class Act. Now, this is a bill that's specific to California, but I gotta tell you, it's gonna make a big difference in our country. We've got a special 2-minute video of Pastor Jack regarding SB 48. You can also listen to the April 19th edition of Real Radio. We had an interview with Dr. John Eastman and Gina Gleason, both of whom explained the perverse agenda of SB 48 and how you have the power to stop it. So again, realradioactive.org, and then click on the button on the right that says Class Act. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J., and Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.